Mr. Chair, committee members, on Senate Bill 973 was sent to the House floor last full Judiciary Committee, and the appropriate motion should have been to send it to Ways and Means because there was a subsequent referral. However, it appears the bill will have no fiscal impact, so I suggest a motion to send it to the House floor with a due pass recommendation and have the rescission of the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
So move.
Representative Courtney moves Senate Bill 973 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and rescinding the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there a discussion on Representative Courtney's motion? Representative Courtney, do you want to give us any more eloquence?
Question.
Thank you. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baums?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes. Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Lori?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Dunbill? Mannix?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Clark?
Oh, Mitt?
I get a vote too.
Yes.
Representative Mitt votes aye.
What's going on here?
Little conspiracy, all no problem. Piece of cake.
Nothing? Senate Bill 973 has passed to the floor. Is there a carrier on that bill? Representative Lori?
Lori, I believe, has his name written in here. I don't know that he wrote it in or...
Representative Lori to carry the bill.
Wait a minute.
Representative Calhoun?
Chair? Yes, sir. Chair, Senate Bill 973, I'd like to make notice of possible reconsideration.
Representative Calhoun serves notice of possible reconsideration on Senate Bill 973. All right, we'll...
May I inquire?
Representative Mannix?
Our committee's meeting tomorrow.
They meet almost any time?
I think we're meeting tomorrow afternoon.
What council?
Procedurally, the bill came from subcommittee to full committee and back to subcommittee?
No. It's going to the floor.
Going back to the floor.
Correct. But the full committee should meet again. We'll have the opportunity to hear about reconsideration if so moved.
Full committee meets tomorrow afternoon.
Full committee tomorrow afternoon. All right. Open the work session on House Bill 2008. Learned Council?
Mr. Chair, committee members, the Crime and Corrections Subcommittee requests that this bill is re-referred to subcommittee to deal with an issue that wasn't addressed in a thorough enough manner earlier.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix?
I move that we re-refer House Bill 2008 to the subcommittee.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2008 back to the subcommittee on crime and corrections. Representative Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Council, what's the issue that has not been discussed?
Representative Clark, committee members, when a person is stopped at the civil roadblock, and there are two situations. First of all, the officer could discover that the person has been driving while suspended, and we specified earlier that evidence could not be used against that person in a subsequent driving while suspended criminal prosecution, but it seemed inconsistent that when officers discover evidence like drugs or a body or a weapon in the vehicle, that evidence could be usable possibly in a subsequent criminal prosecution. And there were some questions, there were some conceptual amendments that were supposed to be drafted, and it wasn't exactly clear what the committee wished to have done in each of those situations.
Okay, Mr. Chair, to the motion.
Representative Clark.
I would vigorously oppose the motion. We're sitting here at June 6th. This is a massive bill that needs to work its way through the jungle in the Senate. And I don't have a whole lot of confidence that it will even be scheduled for a hearing in the Senate, quite frankly. But it is a cutting-edge issue that would set Oregon way out in front in terms of civil-sanctioned roadblocks. And I think the biggest roadblock in the way right now is Senate Judiciary. And whatever problems exist with the bill, and I'm not convinced after counsel's explanation, that those are problems that are necessarily need to be worked out by us, or that even the bill couldn't stand as is. I just think we need to get this bill on the road.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Your lack of confidence is well-founded. Are there,
Mr. Chairman.
Other comments? Representative Mannix.
It's precisely because this bill is on the cutting edge that I would want to see that the edge is sharp. And right now, the edge is dull in regard to search and seizure law in the bill. The reason why I made the motion and why I support the motion is I went through extensive discussion with counsel as we tried to implement, as she tried to implement, some of the conceptual amendments that were thrown in to the bill. And granted, we are in a rush. There was some problem here in trying to differentiate as to what kind of evidence which might be susceptible to search and seizure at the time of the stop, what kind of evidence might be seized, what kind of search might be appropriate. And it would be appropriate for the committee to at least address that issue, the subcommittee, or to make a determination that, no, Jay would just as soon see the Senate address the issue. If the subcommittee takes that position, I'll go along with the subcommittee, but I'd like to have the ever-sharp Judiciary Committee on the House side try to maintain its sharpness.
What would be stopping at the points on our hands?
Mr. Chair? Refresh my memory. What's going on here? It got this far. Did we know it was this much of a mess, if you assume it was a mess, when we voted on it? Well, I don't understand what happened. Someone want to help me here?
Representative Courtney, committee members, again, there were conceptual amendments drafted, but it didn't seem, even listening over the tapes, that the committee was exactly clear on these two issues, what they wanted done, and there does seem to be an inconsistency in the way we deal with use of these two forms of evidence.
Could I ask a question?
Is it somebody's proposition that since you've said that the evidence relevant to the driving should be excluded, that any other evidence that would be discovered should also be excluded? And that the bill currently does not exclude that evidence?
Representative Minnis, I believe there's a section in the bill now which says if the evidence is otherwise admissible by law, in other words, if the evidence falls
Plain
under a current
document.
Warrant exception, then that evidence can come in.
So what's wrong with that?
It is inconsistent that the evidence of that a person has been driving while suspended cannot be introduced.
Mr. Chairman, I don't necessarily agree that it's inconsistent. In fact, I think it's consistent, and I was perfectly happy to press along with the language in the bill as it is, but I can understand the problem others are going to have, and I thought that the subcommittee ought to at least clearly address the issue and make up its own mind on it rather than have some of us argue in court 2 or 3 years from now what was intended, or hope that the Judiciary Committee on the Senate side will decide what was intended.
Mr. Chairman, I would personally prefer that the bill just go to the floor, and I guess the reason I'd argue that is that search and seizure in the state of Oregon, as we're all aware, is an evolutionary process that continues to change day by day and week by week and month by month with our Supreme Court. And frankly, I'd rather have the bill as it is now than some specific prohibition on the introduction of evidence that would be in conjunction with the stop.
Please excuse me for being late, ladies and gentlemen. Representative Mannix, did you have a motion before the body?
My motion was to re-refer to subcommittee. But I'll put it this way. I'm willing to withdraw the motion if the members of the full committee are aware that an issue has arisen, there's some argument about an inconsistency. Some of us can respond by saying, no, it's not inconsistent because driving while suspended has to do with something relating to your motor vehicle. And so we'll say that we're not going to let you use that evidence, so we're not using bootstrapping on roadblocks. But if an officer has a right to be there and anything else that he may develop in the way of a search or things that he just sees, he has a right to use that evidence in any criminal proceeding. I'm perfectly willing to do that, and I'd be willing to withdraw my motion if the members of this committee are aware of that problem and think it's okay.
Okay. Well, now, you have a motion before. So, Representative Clark, you objected the motion. It's essentially
Mr.
your
Chair,
bill.
I strongly vehemently objected.
Vehemently objected.
Yes.
Your bill. So might not the best thing be to
just
vote
on
the motion?
Sure.
Okay. Unless there's further discussion of Representative Mannix's motion on House Bill 2008, clerk will call the roll on Representative Mannix's motion.
Representative Bond?
No.
Bryan? No. Calhoun?
Aye.
Flory?
No.
Clark?
No.
Courtney?
No.
Edmondson?
No.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Dennis?
No.
Chair Mason?
No. Now, for the motions on the bill, Representative Mannix.
Chair, I move that we send the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Good recovery.
He's a good attorney.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2008 to the floor, due pass. As amended, counsel?
Well, we don't have the amendments drafted. So this is not a good time to
move. As amended, if appropriate. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Calhoun?
We need Bowman.
Aye.
Flory?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Bryan?
Aye.
Jermason?
Aye. Representative Clark? Carry. Now, anything else? 3470.
What bill's that?
That failed when you were out of the room.
Did it really?
What bill's that?
Went down 10.
Okay. House Bill 3470 is finally before us in a slight amended form. Who would like to? The chair will move unless somebody else wants to make this formal motion.
Mr. Chair, before a motion is placed, I'd like to know what the bill does.
I also have some questions I'd like to have answered to, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I would ask Representative Robinson to tell us what the bill does.
Who?
Ms. Robinson, give us a very short summary of this bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, first of all, you have been provided a copy of the Dash 12 amendments, which is the final version, the final working version of the bill. I would note for the committee's information that the bill has been totally rewritten as far as the printed bill is concerned, and the entire bill is contained in the Dash 12 amendments. You have also been presented with a staff measure summary, which briefly outlines the 38 sections that this bill now includes. There are two significant areas of Oregon firearms law that are affected by this bill. The first one has to do with regulating the sale of handguns. The measure requires fingerprinting for all handgun sales and enacts a 15-day waiting period for the purposes of conducting a criminal and mental history records check. Any person who is holding a concealed weapons license, it would be exempt from the waiting period. The second significant change from current Oregon law, which is contained in this bill, has to do with the issuance of concealed handguns licenses. Rather than it being up to the discretion of the sheriff, it now establishes a system whereby concealed handgun licenses must be issued if certain criteria are met. There's a 45-day wait period on that. In addition, the bill creates new court procedures which would allow a person who was denied the ability to either purchase, possess a gun, or who was denied a license to carry a concealed handgun, or who was placed on the mental health reporting list, contest that finding. The bill directs that the Department of State Police shall conduct a study regarding the sale of firearms and report their findings to the next legislative assembly, appropriates money to the state police for the purpose of that study and other actions under this bill, and also directs an interim study of unified state identification cards.
Any further discussion of this little bill?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Baum.
Maybe I could ask counsel some of these questions. I want it on the record before we go to the floor. Referring
are
to
these
the
Eastern Oregon questions?
No, they're just regular questions. Referring to the qualifications one must have for the permit to carry a concealed weapon, what was the committee's discussion on whether there will be an official course required?
Okay.
On firearm safety by the National Rifle Association before one could have a concealed weapon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Baum, if you look on page 19 of the Dash 12 amendments, you will see that the generic requirement is that a person be able to demonstrate competence with a handgun by any one of the following. There then is a list of about seven opportunities that one could partake of in order to be able to demonstrate that competence. The list covers a variety of types of courses that are offered by a variety of either state organizations or state and national associations. There are no timelines included in this. There's no requirement that you have taken that course within a specific period of time prior to the application. There was not a lot of discussion about what each of these courses might require. The intent was to say that a person who would have a concealed handgun license would have to demonstrate some level of competence and left that fairly broad in terms of meeting that requirement.
Would a hunter safety course taken at age 13 qualify?
Under the way that this has been drafted, I believe that it would.
If it was approved by the State Department of Fish and Wildlife or a similar agency?
Or by a community college, or any number on the list.
Okay, are we ready to move the bill?
I have to do my question like that.
This really should have been done in subcommittee, Representative Baum.
I'm not a member of the subcommittee.
You wasn't in subcommittee.
You could have sat in any time you wanted.
And the bill was not final in amendment form until the last few days, so I had no opportunity to ask these questions until that point.
Yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yesterday. Preemption. Is there any preemption language in this bill?
No, there is not.
Now, however, there will be, if acquiescence can be obtained from other members, there will be preemption language put in the bill in Ways and Means.
I only got two more questions, Mr. Chairman. Referring to the handguns, is it my understanding is correct that the bill will prohibit a person from either having a concealed weapons permit or a handgun if they've had a previous conviction for DUI or assault four?
If the previous conviction was in a period of 4 years prior to the application or attempt to purchase, and if that person chooses not to go through the relief procedures, then the answer is yes. However, a person who within that four-year period could apply to the court for relief and purchase or obtain their license.
You want to pursue that one? I mean, are you concerned about the people who've got, making sure the people who've gotten DUIs, they can get guns?
I just made a point. Long rifles, counsel. What are the implications on the bill for a person who would like to buy a long rifle and may have a previous DUI or other misdemeanor in the area of crimes of violence, assault force? How would that affect their ability to purchase long rifles?
Their ability to purchase per se is not affected by this measure. However, their ability to possess would be limited if they had a conviction such as you've noted. Page 28 of the bill.
That's another tough on crime provision.
Is this bill the bomb bill?
It has destructive devices in it. You notice that? I noticed it was getting pretty broad. It was gotten, you know. I saw that. I was wondering.
Representative Bauman, do you have a question? Thank you. Okay, anything further?
Chair.
Representative Minutes.
I've heard some terrible rumor that the National Rifle Association is not supporting this bill. Is that true? Do we know?
Chair?
I don't know.
That's a separate question.
I believe the word we were given was that the National Rifle Association wasn't going to take any position on the bill until they saw it in final form and had a chance to review it. Well, and apparently that hasn't happened at this point. And apparently the people at the NRA are smart enough to know that when you walk into court, you don't walk into court with a bunch of concepts. You walk into court with some language on paper.
Mr. Chair?
Well, these are representatives. Calhoun, I'm sure that the men and women around this table will not vote on this bill based on where an interest group is on the bill. They'll vote on the bill and what's in the bill in their own consciousness.
Mr. Chair, are we changing longstanding committee policy? Or?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Clark, touche.
I think the statement by the chair of the subcommittee is perhaps a little bit inaccurate. For whatever it's worth to members of the committee, I believe that the NRA has always supported this bill and has said that they are interested in seeing the final language. I don't know that they have taken a position that they are neutral on the bill until they see the final language, and I think there's a difference there. Two points that were raised in the discussion, one about preemption. Preemption language might be helpful in this bill. It is not necessary in this bill. Under the Dollar Hyde case, we have in fact preempted what we have preempted, and cities and counties are precluded from moving in those areas by definition and by law, court-made law in the state of Oregon. and I'd be happy to argue that point with anybody who wants to argue it. And finally, the bill, one of the major changes we made in the bill, which made it possible for me to support it, was eliminating long guns from the fingerprinting requirement, so that the rancher in Eastern Oregon who buys a Christmas present for his son or daughter does not have to be fingerprinted to buy a rifle or a shotgun. I think that was a trade-off for me that was important, the state's interest being somewhat higher in perhaps regulating handguns than long guns because of the possibility of their being concealed. I never took this bill lightly. The subcommittee worked very hard on this bill, despite some acrimony, this is a solid bill, and I am not at all uncomfortable with supporting it, and I think both the chair and council especially did a tremendous job on it. And
which chair?
I'd be very pleased to support the bill.
Clark, would you like your motion?
I'd be glad to move the bill.
Chairman, I'm kind of hoping to get an answer to my question.
Representative Clark moves House Bill 3470 to the Ways and Means Committee to pass as amended.
Let's amend the bill to lift the Ways and Means.
It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Representative Baum, you're certainly willing. You can certainly make the motion.
I'd like to make that motion to rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
To the motion.
Well, just a moment. Representative Baum moves to amend Representative Clark's motion. Now, before you speak, Representative Minnis, Representative Baum has the right to speak to his motion now that he's in support of the bill.
I think if we move it directly to the floor, first of all, I'm not convinced that there is much of a fiscal impact to the bill. I think that's probably the means best calculated to limit the discussion on the bill, and that's the only purpose of the referral to Ways and Means. I think we got to have this right on the floor with opportunity to discuss other options and discuss the bill, including possible minority reports. So I think the only motivation for the Ways and Means referral is simply to...
Close, Representative Baum.
Take care.
You're real close.
Take care of opposition. So anyway, that's just my basis for my motion.
Further discussion
to that motion.
Representative Manning.
In regard to the motion to rescind the referral to Ways and Means, this bill appropriates money to the Department of State Police for purposes of this act. It requires the collection of certain amount of money by the state and by local government in order to implement the act. It does have a fiscal impact from that approach. It will have some impact in terms of the operations of a number of state agencies, and I think Ways and Means ought to take a look at its impact on those operations. So I think it's a good referral.
Mr. Chair, question?
Representative Clark.
Question of counsel as to the stated amount, fiscal impact, and the source of the fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Clark, there are really three answers to that question. The first one, I think, is answered by, if you look at Section 32 of the bill, there is a blank. The purpose of the money appropriated to the Department of State Police is to conduct the study as required under this bill. There is also a tangential fiscal impact in the sense that there are many new crimes created which have to be accounted for but don't have a direct impact on this bill. And the third one, in terms of the fees going to, the increased fees that would go to the state police, does not set up a system that has to go through Ways and Means. But there is not a dollar amount set in the bill in terms of state police appropriations for the study.
Thank you.
For the discussion of Representative Baum's motion, Representative.
Yeah, I'm gonna support the motion to rescind the referral to Ways and Means, and mostly for one reason. We recently, in an earlier committee this morning, dealt with the issue of fee-based legislation where certain agencies' budgets are affected by fees and subsequently spent, and it was the ruling of the Speaker's office in the form of Corey, that in fact when it's a fee-based program, that we don't have to send it to Ways and Means. And I think there, if we had to get a ruling from the Speaker's office, the gentleman who ruled that same way this morning, standing in the room, There's all the justification in the world to rescind it.
Mr. Chair.
Now, you gentlemen, ladies, you realize what the actual procedure is. This, if this motion passes, this does not rescind the referral. We have to go to the floor to do that.
Chair?
Representative Calhoun.
I point out that not myself, but a member of the majority party was at least contemplating and pursuing the possibility of correcting, or I guess since we're using the language so frequently now, fixing or modifying the current House rules to allow a minority report from this committee to be carried through Ways and Means into the floor of the House. So this may be the less drastic action of that being the alternative, and myself not wanting to see such a breach of the policy of the House happen, this may be the less severe of the two alternatives.
The discussion of the motion, Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chairman, from my understanding, and the council can correct me, but I understand that the study portion of the bill is not, in fact,
that's correct.
So there is, in fact, a request in the general fund appropriation.
That's correct. That's.
Do we have a fiscal?
Figures I have been provided, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is about $350,000 to do the study.
General fund money,
and then there's additional cost to the Department of State Police to do fingerprinting that's not covered by the fees set in the bill.
Chairman, I'll withdraw my support for the referral to rescind.
Okay. For the discussion.
What did you say, Representative?
I withdraw my support to rescind the referral to rescind.
Representative Miller?
Well, I just observe, maybe some others could comment on the process, but having been in a rules committee where we put out a campaign finance reform bill that had a substantial fiscal impact, that one came to the floor with a minority report and was argued strenuously there before it got lost in Ways and Means. I don't know why we won't have the opportunity to fully argue this matter on the floor.
Mystery.
For the discussion of the motion.
Mystery to me.
Further discussion, Representative Baum's motion. Representative Baum, do you still stand by your motion? Clerk, call the roll on Representative Baum's motion.
Representative Courtney?
No.
Edmondson?
No.
Mannix?
No.
Miller?
Yes.
Minnis?
No.
Baum?
Yes.
Baumann?
No.
Bryan?
No.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Hallori?
No.
Clark?
Yes.
Chair Mason?
No. Motion fails. Mr. Chairman? Mm-hmm. Representative Mannix,
are we back to a main motion now?
Yes, we certainly are.
To the motion?
Representative Clark's motion.
I don't think that we should let this bill pass out without some discussion about the fact that this bill has been substantially worked over. There's been a lot of remarks published in the press about the process and about the bill. My own reflection is that the process on this kind of a bill was not unique. It was not unusual. We're dealing with a measure which involves a large number of interest groups and affects the rights of Oregonians. It also involves the criminal justice process. It involves a careful consideration of constitutional rights under the federal constitution, the Oregon constitution, and I could go on, and I won't, because every member of this committee knows what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is this was a very complicated bill dealing with a very emotional issue which has a lot of substantive content, and I think it's important to emphasize to this committee that while it was a lengthy process, that the bill has been refined, and in the minds of those of us who are strong supporters of this bill, it is like every other bill from anyone's personal perspective, perhaps not perfect, but it has got in it a tremendous amount of positive measures to deal with the issue of gun rights versus gun control in our society, and that needs to be said. Anybody who wants to, and myself included, can pick this bill apart and find on certain pages little things that individual would like to see done differently. But when we're talking about a democratic process and trying to put together legislation which meshes these varying interests, I think we've got an excellent bill here, and I'm very supportive of it.
Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My guess is we'll have the opportunity to explain our positions on the House floor, so I'd call for the question.
Well,
Well, I kind of like an answer to my question. I mean, we've got somebody from the NRA here. I don't know if...
That was the quote on television last night.
Like to know
well, Representative...
well,
Mr. Chairman...
Normally I wouldn't object, but I'm not interested in hearing what individual interest groups have to say about the bill as it stands now.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest we get the whole working group up here.
This is not a subcommittee meeting, Mr. Chairman. That's different from full committee.
Well, I just,
but if you want to see an interest...
I just wanted to clear up a simple rumor. My name's on the bill, and I have a vested interest in the passage of this bill and whether the thing sticks together. And I think
whether or not the NRA
railroading
supports
the bill
through
the full committee is a bunch of horse manure. If we can get the doggone thing, the question cleared up, let's clear the question up.
I mean,
otherwise,
the answer is pretty simple. The NRA supports the bill.
Well, I don't see him running up the table to tell us anything different.
Which level?
Very quickly, this is...
thank you, Representative Mason.
I dislike the testimony in the full committee, so this is...
I don't like being put in a box, and I want to know where they are. Before
the minutes just vote no.
That's not the point. My name is on the bill.
Representative Minnis, the National Rifle Association supports the bill in concept. There were some amendments that we had asked to be attached in writing to the bill. They haven't been incorporated yet, and for a number of reasons, we need to see that in writing. We need to see these amendments in writing incorporated into the bill. They haven't been. It's posed the problem for us, and until they are, we